This is Horst Avengers. You're listening to Horst Avengers Follow the White Rabbit, and this is State of the Bugs Union. And this is an interesting podcast. I haven't done one of these in a long time, but some stuff has come up over on Bugs, and some stuff was said that was unintended, as usual. And I can be sometimes harsh, because my particular timeline is always so crunched. That's why I mostly just talk to people these days, or meet with people. I hate typing online. Typing online to anti-whites is fun. Typing online to pro-whites is typically a lot of things can be misunderstood, and things can get blown out of proportion. But historically, there are two types of individuals. There are antisocial, that like they don't like talking to a lot of people. Some trolls online are famous antisocial personalities. And then there's very social people. Bugsers are very successful pro-whites because we have both varieties. Bob is kind of antisocial. I come to believe most old men get a little antisocial. He can be a little antsy. He can be a little irritated, to say the least. At the same time, he can do a 180 on you. HD is another old fellow. He's a very nice fellow. I've met him personally. But he can also be a little antisocial. He can go a little crazy with the emails and that type of thing. But this is quite common. Then there are very social people. A social person can walk into, a social bugger can walk into a conversation, start out with conversation, whatever they're talking about. If they're talking about bathing suit sizes or Obama, they can go from there all the way over to white genocide in a matter of a conversation. This type of individual is rare. In pro-white politics, they typically become leaders of organizations and that type of thing. In the Bugser school, we've got several of them. Several of them. Truck Roy would be one of these types who sits on the radio, sandwiched between Don Black and David Duke, having to make his points. Not an easy process to do or to go through. Lord Nelson is another famous type that can walk into a bar and take the conversation from point A to Z to white genocide. Beefcake is another one of these types. I am one of these types. I can talk to anyone about anything. It's quite, we've got two types, and I can go on and on. We've got more of these two types than any other group in the history of pro-white politics. It's one of the reasons we're so successful. But typically, the antisocial type don't really understand, typically, what it takes. Bob, to get out a message from point B, A to point B. Simply, Bob can develop the stuff in the bubble, in the think tank, if you will. I hate to say a bubble because he's not isolated, he's not stupid. He's only as good as the information coming in. But at the same time, you have to be able to take that to spread it around the world. And I'm going to talk about a couple different instances of some stuff in specific. But, you know, of late, Truck Roy took a lot of work, and we've had two instances of late that I haven't liked. I haven't liked it because they were blown out of proportion. They got out of hand. One was an incident with Kyle Hunt, which I didn't intervene, or I intervened too late. And Kyle, of course, hooked up the White Man March website, the White Genocide Project, which was very kind of him, but he was getting harassed over going off message by more of the antisocial bugsers that don't understand what someone like him goes through trying to get on message. Jimmy Maher was another case in point of going off message, and he was harassed to death. But both these instances, they were typically harassed over the Jews. The Jews. And the reason the Jews are a hot-button issue is because historically they're a hot-button issue with old Bob. And anything that's a hot button issue with the coach becomes a hot button issue with the players. Okay? So Bob historically has seen a lot of messages lost on the Jews. He also knows that anti-Semitism is going to explode. If you go back and read his blog after September 11, 2001, it becomes quite clearly. And there's no point in us being involved in that if the David Dukes are out there and everyone else, and many people know his opinion or misconstrue it. We're going to go over to a few things on that. But in this particular instance, one of the things that always bothers me is in dealing with Kyle Hunt and dealing with Jimmy Marr specifically, now, of course, I'm dealing with John Gage. And General Gage is going to be great on message. He's doing phenomenal. But typically, I just spent the other day. And I'm going to pick on General Gage a little bit over at the National Youth Front. But General Gage was sitting there, if you watch my timeline, he was sitting there arguing with anti-whites, trying to convince them of black-on-white crime statistics. Now, this is typical. This is typical. Most of the guys in North America, including Bob, go off message, typically in the direction of blacks, not in the direction of Jews. Jimmy Marr went off message more on blacks than he did Jews. The reason many people believe he went off message on the Jews all the time is selective listening, because the coach always talks about not going off message on the Jews. But typically, if you go back and look at Kyle Hunt in his big interview online, he went off message on black on white crime stats. General Gage does doing the same thing. So I was talking with General Gage about this, and he beat his head against the wall with the anti-whites for several days. If you're trying to convince or educate anti-whites, you basically, it's an abusive process. It'll wear you out. A consistent message works because it's a force of nature that everyone can grab hold of. It's also workable. Once you learn how to work it, it's quite easy. Trying to convince or trying to educate is totally brainwash people is like pretty much trying to educate a robot. You can't. You've got to reprogram them. To reprogram them, you've got to strip it down. You do that by bouncing consistent message off of them until the whole thing comes down. And in this, I'm going to bounce around a little bit. So in this, I was working with General Gage, and if you talk to him, I was working with him, but typically only on when dealing with this process of trying to convince anti-whites of black-on-white crime stats and this type of thing, which is an abusive process. typically, someone like him doesn't go off message on the Jews. And if you've seen him go off message on Jews or Zionism, it's pretty much just a well-chosen example. Jimmy Marr, believe it or not, went... And the reason these guys always go off message more to the direction of black crime stats and stuff like that is quite simple. In America, Jews aren't necessarily walking by your picture window right now doing crazy things. Blacks often are. Black crime is more prevalent than Jews on the street corner, at least. This is the way things really work. But typically there's an obsession among certain bugsers, the antisocial type, with not going or talking about the Jews. And it has nothing to do with them, per se. It has more to do with the coach and more to do with the history of trying to tie the message or trying to get into or basically going off message in this particular direction. Now, what I said was that 80% of the time, Jews will not come up in conversations in America. And typically, if something doesn't come up in a conversation about white genocide, all you're going to do is bring it up. We seeded the meme anti-white, and I never had the word Jew come up at all. I never had black-on-white crime stats come up, but a fraction of the time. But it's not that big of a deal. So if something's not coming up, why bring it up? What's happened of late is I'm getting reports from the front line, more from London than America, but from London, that this is coming into the conversation in odd scenarios. In other words, people are coming up with things out of the blue that wouldn't normally be there. Dealing with the Jews. And I've warned about this for quite some time. I actually did a special podcast because HD is more of the antisocial type, and I don't mean that to be offensive, but he doesn't understand this. So I did a special podcast for him. I took him through on what we were preparing for. You see, historically, pro-whites have been able to get dragged down in these conversations about Jews really easily, and that's what Bob's warning about. Bob is also warning that if the whole world goes anti-Semitic, we don't need to be anti-Semitic. In other words, the David Dukes and the Dr. Kevin McDonalds are already out there. We need to stick to the message of white genocide. And the straightest distance between A and B is the cleanest, the easiest way to from point A to point B is the straightest line. So let's keep it simple. However, the social type are noticing something quite conclusively, is that things about the Jews are coming up in the left and right field. Now, this has long been prepared for. We've seen it. We've seen it. Historically, getting off message in the Jews is real easy because historically no one's had anti-racist Hitler. Just in the last 6 months, I've had this come up out of the blue more than anything, something about the Jews. I always say, have you seen anti-racist Hitler? And they say, no. Then, of course, they show it on their phone. Or, you know, these days with smartphones are great. You pull it up on a phone, you watch a video. We've got some amazing animations. And then next thing you know, we can talk about white genocide. Everyone wants to watch something called anti-racist Hitler, especially some of these patriotard types and this type of thing. You know, and this is a tool. So historically, that has never been available. I understand Bob's opinion, and I understand Bob's position. Bob has never had anti-racist Hitler entering a conversation like that historically. And historically, if you bring up the Jews, everyone, like HD has pointed out, says Nazi wants to kill 6 million Jews. Historically. That's why we don't want to actually start attaching everything to the Jews. We don't want to get off into religious conversations. We don't want to get off in the protocols of Elders of Zion. The Jews, you know, the pro-whites think that the Jews actually hold this society up. That is a misnomer under our models. That is a misnomer. Many people believe the Soviet Union, and I'll give you a classic example of our models, which are working live right as we speak. The Soviet Union was not held up by the Politburo. That's bullshit. It wasn't held together. The Politburo only blew the whistles. Someone had to pull the levers once the Politburo blew the whistles to make the society work. Now, at one time, the Politburo set the structure. The head of the Soviet, the Bolsheviks, set the structures. They got the schools together, the social engineering schools. All the crap was put together, put out there. It was decades old, though. The structure they provided was decades old. They had a society so fine-tuned that they blew the whistle and everyone pulled the levers. The everyone that pulled the levers, the most critical class, was called the management class. They're the class that gets things done. If you go in America and you go to, or actually Europe or anywhere else, you can see the management class at work most easily in the grocery store. They're the kids, and it's not necessarily blue collar, it's not necessarily white collar. Everyone, at wherever you're working, there's a handful at that company, at that business, and at a grocery store it becomes most visible because you're dealing with produce, and produce goes bad very quickly. If those people, those key people don't show up, nothing seems to work right. And so in the Soviet Union, what Samizdat did, and Samizdat means anonymous, is they started undermining this management class with little memes. Because they knew that once the Politburo blew the whistle, if the management class doesn't pull the levers, that society is going to come down. Okay, in our society, the Politburo, you could say, represents the ADL, the ASPLCs, the social engineering schools. We're not here to get into arguments about who opened the gates of immigration in somewhere like America. Dr. Kevin McDonald is currently on a world tour, and he has proven conclusively who did what, where, when, and how. And yeah, the Jewish elites were involved up to their neck. There's no disproving that. There's no disproving who was behind, you know, the Anti-Defamation League as a Masonic fraternal organization for Jews, basically. There's no disproving these things. But they don't keep the thing going. This is the misnomer. They provided structure somewhat long ago, this anti-white system. They provide the structure. There's no doubt. But the system, the ones pulling the lever, are the white anti-whites at the management class. And let me give you a clear example. Just recently, in an Oklahoma university, you've got this charge of racism. These white kids did something, sang some tune on a bus. If a rapper would have sung it, it would have been famous. But because they were white kids, they yelled racism and they got expelled and everything else. But that whole entire process was brought about because someone yelled racism and a white anti-white university head pulled the lever. That's how the society works if you think about it. The Tim Weisses are pretty much evil. They know what they're doing. The white anti-white university head is simply someone's blowing the whistle and he's pulling the lever. The society's totally dependent on him not rebelling. And in our particular function, our job and the genius of the mantra is it so divides the social space, it actually redivides it. Instead of anti-racist and racist, anti-racist is anyone white that accepts their own death or accepts white genocide. Racist is anyone white who voices opinion otherwise. What we've done is redivide the social space that's already done between pro-white versus anti-white, which is more legitimate. You're just saying that because I'm white. Anti-racism is a code word for anti-white when called a racist. Successfully redivided the social space to such an extent that we're seeing pressure all over the place. We're seeing in the gigantic manosphere, we're seeing the Hurtiste make overtures, big overtures. And there's no big overture than talking about he likes what he sees under hashtag white genocide. The revolt has become. Revolt has begun. What's happening in some of the different media sets is the social space is so great they're having to choose a side. And as this happens, one morning, the white anti-white will be under such pressure that he will fold like white bread. Why? Because he has a mental disorder. He's a white anti-white. He's actually incredibly vulnerable because of brainwashing. You know, you could put so much pressure on them that they fold like cheap white bread. In the Soviet Union, this is what happened. The Berlin Wall came down. Several intelligence elements, even many believe Putin had something to do with wanting the wall to come down, but they put so much pressure on this management class that one morning the Politburo blew the whistles and they never pulled the handles. Some faced peer pressure not to. Others just were gone mentally and they just folded. And that's what's happening in this society. But as this mushroom cloud goes up between pro-white and anti-white, all the whites are forced to choose a side. It's most notable that it's happened in places like Manosphere among the Hurtis. Another fellow who's basically an anti-white, well, he's basically a non-white Iranian. His name is Roush. He's one of these pickup artist guys. Yeah, that's what they call themselves, who made a living writing books about picking up girls in Western civilization. He lives somewhere in Europe, I believe, between Europe and America. He basically took the opposite side of Hurtis in Manosphere. In other words, Hurtis came out pro-white. He came out anti-white and got his head blown off. You know, race shouldn't be important, but I only want to live in white countries and date white women. You know, one of these type of things. That's what's going on out there. But in this conversation, so this process is basically well on its way. Well on its way. What we're seeing, depending on where you're at, let me give you guys an example of stuff that I hear. Typically, the social type of bugser is out there talking to people nonstop. They do it for a living, usually. They may be salesmen. They may be like Truck Roy at a barbershop. And typically, in these conversations, you generally can't talk about whatever you want to talk about. You have to talk about what everyone's talking about to get to talk to whatever you want to talk about. Let's talk about a current event. Let me give you an example. There's a fellow in the last month, a semi-famous black commentator has took on the mantra. This Week in Blackness with Elon James decided to talk white genocide. And, you know, many believe it wasn't accidental because the show did seem somewhat professional and scripted. Also, Elon James' wife has massive media connections. That's how Elon James has become somewhat successful. He's married to it's a Jewish lady with a tremendous number of media connections. One of these type of deals. And you guys can listen to Fetchover's report, but, you know, basically a bugser went on there and did quite well. And so he did a two-part show trying to take down the mantra and everything else. And another famous commentator from the Middle East took him to pieces. Dennis Fetchow has a controversial show, to say the least. It's called Inside the Eye Live. And Fetchow has a ridiculous number of listeners, some say up to 40,000 on a Saturday morning. I was asked to go on his show quite some time ago. I have a conservative friend of mine who warned me not to go on his show because conservatives are always worried about how they look, and that's why conservatives always lose. I don't really care what Dennis Fetchow's famous for the Kabbalah and famous for talking about all kinds of wild stuff. I don't really care about that. I care about how big his audience is and if will I have the chance to talk about white genocide. So I went on his show very early on, maybe one of the first radio shows I've ever done. And on this particular radio show, the first one appeared, he said, didn't go so well with his audience. They didn't really understand white genocide. The second show I did went really well. And so the third show he did himself. And he's controversial simply because he's not exactly conventional pro-white material, if at all. He definitely advocates survival white people, but he was married to a Chinese lady at one time, and he doesn't live in Western civilization. He lives in Jordan, Jordan, the Middle East. But he has a very large alternative type of show, which I somewhat specialized in that audience, to say the least, and I've went on there twice. If you're talking to 40,000 people live or via download, why should I not want to go on? But, you know, like I said, conservatives are first-class losers. They're always worried about what they look like doing something. I don't really care. I'm a rabbit. So my buddy would not in a million years do a show like that, and he was warning me about it. I didn't really care. But what impressed me is that before I could even discuss Elon James and This Week in Blackness, Mr. Fetchow took up the torch. He basically did a whole show, an hour of his show in front of his massive audience, dissecting why Elon James was talking about it, and he might have went off on some tangent. I mean, he's certainly no bugser. But just having someone talk about white genocide in front of that large an audience and talk about this meme is, you know, this meme is becoming a big deal, and it must be a big deal because this guy, Elon James, has this big scripted show doing that. And so he wanted to revisit this meme and expose his audience to it again. And he went on for about an hour. I haven't listened to the whole thing completely, but apparently he did a pretty good job. I don't really care what he says as long as he talks about white genocide for an hour, because I know people are going to Google it and they're going to go to White Genocide Project or something along those lines, and they're going to get it straight from the horse's mouth. But I thought that was pretty historic. That's pretty interesting, because he's not someone conventional that you would expect to go on. A guy that was married to a Chinese lady that doesn't live in Western civilization, doesn't really do an hour show is dissecting something Elon James in New York says about this white genocide stuff. So I thought that was pretty interesting. But we have a lot of people wanting to go into our stuff. Now Mr. Fetcho talks about all kinds of things. And he's one of these types that talks about the Jews more than anyone else these days, but that's going on out there. Another interesting thing we've had of late, and this is just in the last month, I'm trying to give you guys an update. When it comes to AMPWs, anti-mantra pro-whites, I only divide the social space once, pro-white versus anti-white. Anything more than that is unnecessary. I assume that everyone not openly anti-white is really pro-white looking for something to say. That's what I always think. Call me a dreamer, but this glasses half full type thinking has always worked well. When you artificially divide the social space, you create wars all over the place. You don't believe me, just ask the Jews. If you think everyone's out to get you, they end up being out to get you. It's like Bob has always said. 2 years ago, most of you guys don't know this, but I fielded a phone call from a famous reactionary. I won't give you his Twitter handle, although those of you will figure out who it is. Most of you don't know about this conversation. He is notorious in certain conservative circles, as well as reactionary in these neo-reactionary circles. In fact, he is the most followed in all of social media from these circles. And as you know, these groups don't historically like Bugsers, per se, to say the least, although we do have our neo-reactionaries, like B.W. Rabbit, nor have they loved the white genocide meme historically, to say the least. So the phone call came to yours truly. He asked for a conversation, and the reason he asked for a conversation is because we're invading their social space. All these memes are jumping around. This is a couple years old, and this guy is smart. He is the smartest of this set, period. And many of the Bugsers would have gotten angry and pissed off that I did not go to war with them. The phone call was one of those 50-50 deals, meaning I was being overly diplomatic, and so it ended up peaceful. But just the other day, the same individual blurted out something for the first time in front of a six-figure audience. He said, if you believe white genocide isn't a Zio-Prague agenda, and by the way, he means Zionist Progressive, which is technically true. That's kind of the alliance in charge. Let's see your argument why only white countries are singled out for alien invasion. And I thought this was pretty historic. He mentioned white genocide, and he pretty much, if he would have placed Zio-Prague with anti-white, it would have been something like something right from a Bugser. And this actually shocked a lot of people. This happened the last couple weeks. Because it was so Bugserish. And of course, Zio-Prague in their language again means Zionist Progressive. You have the language of their own. But I'll take it hands down. Well, what's the point? You know, when we rag on, when I read Bugs these days, a lot of people are upset with anti-mantra pro-whites. And for good reason. They make the same arguments anti-whites makes. But when you artificially divide the social space, it usually is impossible to undo the divide. Many people are reading our blogs these days. I would say keep the anti-mantra pro-white insults more private. There's no need for several articles condemning pro-white elements for not understanding what we're doing. And I understand the frustration. No one would have blamed me if I would have went to war with these guys. I probably have more reasons to be pissed off at the AMPWs than the next Bugser. Diplomacy always takes more work than war, but it also pays off larger dividends and can do so in a hurry. If the opponent is not openly a hostile anti-white, I always choose diplomacy. Even if it's more work, it may not make sense to anyone watching. Some guys are like, I can't believe you're nice to that guy. Well, to me, I think he was trying to figure out what we were doing. He wasn't openly hostile, although many of his set were. What he was trying to do is figure out what's going on here. When I explained the demographics, when I explained what we were doing, why I explained the rabbits, why I explained that I'm dealing with the audience that gets younger every few years, it clicked on him. They were dealing with the same demographics. And, you know, I always try to make it very easy to come on our side. There's no point in pissing on a garden. It ain't going to grow if you piss on it. I grew up in a household most don't know, but I grew up surrounded by some famous, actually quite famous labor organizers that brought together some of the, that brought to power some of the most famous names the labor movement has ever known. And one thing I found out at a very young age was that, you know, these guys would go to war, sure, they would burn down whole trucking terminals, literally. But if you don't have to go to war, the easiest way to do that is to build large coalitions very quickly and take down an enemy without them knowing what's going on. So basically, we got all these little fires that I lit. And this goes back a couple years when it goes to Fetcho. Actually, more than that with Fetcho. This goes back a couple years with one of these famous reactionaries is what we'll call him. This goes back a long ways. Now, this famous reactionary's son watches anti-racist Hitler and he repeats it line for line. Yeah, he's come on our side a long ways. But again, when you're having these open battles, or when you're devoting web space to anti-mantra pro-white stuff, I understand the frustration, but it divides the social space unnecessarily. When we're at war, there's only one division in the social space, pro-white versus anti-white. You don't want to artificially divide that. Especially when you have all these different groups that are looking at our stuff. Now, when it comes to something like anti-Semitism, the numbers are exploding across the board. I am getting reports all over the place about, you know, Jews are coming into this conversation. You see, historically, our opinion is quite simple. The fastest way to point A to point B is the straightest line. And if I can see a meme like anti-white without ever having to mention black-on-white crime stats or get bogged down in the Jews, why bother? We're here to win. We're not here to educate people on Protocols, Elders of Zion. We'll hand them a David Duke book. So when it comes to this current conversation, many are taken out by surprise, but I've been warning of this. Okay? Now, does that mean it's coming up all the time? No. It means that your more social bugsers that are out there on shows and stuff like that have it seeping in. And I'll tell you a very real incident. This is very important. This is a watershed type of thing that tells us what's going on. There's a famous young guy on Twitter named All Caps Bro. And he's famous. He's been written up several times. He has a lot of followers, and he has more people look at it than probably actual followers, but he's very big. And basically, I follow him because of different write-ups about the guy. And basically, not long ago, he was lamenting about all these social justice warriors who end up being Jews. And so many tweets later, he mentioned white genocide, which shocked a lot of people. But that's how far our stuff is out there. Now, he didn't mention white genocide in relation to the Jews as much as the social justice warrior and some different stuff going on with Gamergate and feminism. But it was in his mind. And, you know, the challenge with All Caps Bro is that he's young and Jewish. Yeah, he's a young Jewish guy. Very young. And so basically, you know, something's going on out there. I call it a trend. And it's nothing to fool with once it's taken off. And this trend has went way past pro-whites. I mean, again, he's a young Jewish guy. When young Jews in the social media are saying these things, and right now on YouTube, there are young Jews debating whether or not they're white and everything else, there's something going on that might want to take note of that has really nothing to do with us, but everything to do with us. Everything to do with pro-white stuff. You know, you have young Jews on YouTube arguing over whether or not they're white. You have articles from young Jews out of Israel arguing whether or not they're white. But again, what are they supposed to talk about in relation to live conversation? You know, if All Caps Bro sees social justice warriors that are Jewish, and he's lamenting that fact, these stupid Jews like from his tribe, you know, he's going to be talking about them. He's not going to talk about Eskimos. I mean, the social justice warriors that he was talking about were all Jews. It's kind of, you know, a general concept of human conversation. Humans make general observations about reality. Over in South Africa right now, we have a problem among some Jewish bugsters. One of the challenges, and I'm going to skip around a little bit to make my point. In South Africa, Jews never come into the conversation at all, ever. No. Not inside South Africa. Most of you don't know, but we have actual bugsters inside South Africa. But for obvious reasons, they always get sidetracked by black crime. This is one of the pitfalls of talking about white genocide within South Africa. And there is no way around black crime aspect of white genocide in South Africa. In other words, the stuff that we get away with without ever talking about black crime is not something they get away with in South Africa because of the nature of the beast. So the idea that they're not going to discuss black crime as well as open borders in relation to white genocide is silly. Now, open borders is a no-brainer because that's something we've handled. But the white the black crime aspect of white genocide, the black criminal aspect within South Africa is something that a lot of South African newer bugsers and whatnot are having challenges with. And you see them, many of them on Twitter, they go off on these tangents on black crime. Also, you're always dealing with black leaders from certain parties saying kill the Boer, making these big pronouncements. Well, which reinforces the reality of the situation. But of course, this is historically a bugster taboo. We try to avoid talking about black crime. However, what are they supposed to talk about? They're not going to talk about Martians. That would be ineffective for anyone engaging in a conversation. The ideal is to come back on message and, of course, try not to get off message. But you're going to have to talk about whatever everyone else is talking about with any hope to get a word in edgewise, especially if you have any hope to steer the conversation toward white genocide and what to say when called a racist. And if all blacks are talking about black crime and open borders in South Africa, well, it's even easier for a bugser within the country to get sidetracked. Not impossible to handle, but these are something we don't think about. I have to think about these from a macro perspective on how to help some of these people. If you're not social, you don't talk to people, you don't really, you know, and I'm not on the ground in South Africa, thank God. So I don't really see this. And so it was kind of a little bit unusual. I never thought about that. Because outside of South Africa, it's very easy for us to talk about white genocide. Within South Africa, it's very easy for them to get sidetracked within open borders. It's just open borders. Well, yeah. Yeah, it's an open borders and rainbow nation because you have white kids. Anytime you have white kids in any country, it automatically becomes open borders and a rainbow nation type of situation, a white genocide. But, you know, but it becomes very pervasive because no sooner than they get off the subject, there's another grisly photo coming out of black crime vis-a-vis white genocide, which is a little bit unusual for us to have to deal with. If you really think about what I'm saying from a white genocide mantrastic perspective, most of us have never had to think about that. We're not in South Africa. But you'll notice that many of South Africans get sidetracked on the black crimes type stuff. Outside of South Africa, this is nothing we really think about, but inside South Africa, it's kind of an interesting scenario. Not impossible, but a little bit unique. When it comes to anti-Semitism, historically, you know, if Jews don't come up, why bring them up? It's kind of a waste of time. For us, our job is to get out the message of white genocide. It's simple, or you know, the simplest way to go about it is not to have to do it. It is basically stay on subject of white genocide. Talk about all anti-whites, Jew, Gentile, like whatever they are. Getting into, especially in our model, the key is to put so much pressure on the white anti-white that they don't pull the lever and the whole thing collapses. They're not doing anything magical. You know, there's some ideal among pro-whites that Jews are these magical little demigods with special weapons and secret this and secret that are untouchable. That's not accurate. On the other hand, there are some bugsers who think Jews are magical little disappearing elves, and we need to walk on eggshells around them and never mention them, because if we mention them in relation to our mantra, our mantra will go poof and disappear. That's not actually true either. Neither one is accurate. Historically, you know, getting sidetracked off message is getting sidetracked off message. Most of these guys, from Kyle Hunt's experience to Jimmy Marr's experience to even General Gage, I didn't spend time ever talking about Gage going off subject on the Jews, because coming across my Twitter feed, the stuff he was doing, I didn't see that. The only thing I see is what I saw mostly from Jimmy Marr and some others. The biggest hang-up is usually getting off into black crime, because it's very pervasive in America. You look at what whatever you look for, you're going to find. When someone goes off message, they go off message across the board. I've never seen, like, Truck Roy, when he was first getting going, didn't go off message on the Jews, didn't go off message on the blacks, they go off message across the board. So I never call it news and Jews, never have. I call it going off message because it's more descriptive, it's easier. It's easier to keep them on message if they know what it is and what it isn't. And historically, there's several different pitfalls all these guys go through. And it's a lot of pressure, and it becomes quite difficult. But, you know, right now in London, many people are reporting anti-Semitism is totally out of control. You know, all the bugsers I talked to have one thing in common. They all talk to everyone all the time. And they are reporting facts about having the Jews come up out of in conversations out of the blue that have never happened, or have never happened quite the same way. There's reports that Chuck Roy is having to talk about the Jews more on Rinse Radio, and he's done a historically a great job of staying on message and not talking about things he doesn't have to talk about over the past few years. And that's pretty hard to do in between David Duke and David Duke and Don Black. But basically, if you got all caps bro, a young Jew, saying what he's saying, you have different things going on all across the world. I'm getting reports. You know, I'm simply issuing a report. I issued a report on blogs that, well, 20% of the time you're going to have to talk about Jews. There's some antisocial bugsters that think they don't ever have to talk about Jews. Maybe in your neighborhood right now. But giving a speech in London or talking to party after speech in London, having things come up, that's a little bit different story. And of course, you know, there's two ways to look at this. One, if all caps bro is talking about the Jews, you're not going to have a chance. The average pro-white isn't going to have a chance with the Jewish elite. He's going to tear them to pieces. That's what's going on with the ADL and SPLC. The young Jews are in a frenzy over this. They're basically having a total identity crisis. Yeah, the largest they've ever had, probably. And so if they're going through an identity crisis, if you've got all caps bro talking about the Jews, it's kind of like you've got black on white crime all over Fox News. Do we need to really talk about it all the time? Well, no. Right now, Dr. Kevin McDonald, which also gives me pause, he just gave a lecture in London to a sellout crowd. What? About the Jews. That's what he does. So much for the home of the Rothschilds. So much for the all-powerful Jews, right? And they also had just had a celebrity, what is her name, Katie Hopkins or something like that, make a wild statement about immigrants at the same time. And again, the bad news for the pro-whites is that the all-cap bros will probably get to their own least way ahead of you. And that is the way things really work. Does this mean we need to start jumping up and down because someone says Jew? No. Just a general observation that things are happening in conversations long predicted that were not happening quite the same way. Now, this isn't something that only really affects those that get out there and talk. In the Red Ice interviews, I got asked about Jews, and I steered the conversation. I always do this to the point I want to make, because I'm not there to be Dr. Kevin McDonald or Dr. David Duke. But if things are coming up in conversations, they're coming up in conversations. Again, if Dr. Kevin McDonald's on a world tour, and he's on a world tour, and talking about the Jews, that's pretty historic, especially in London, which actually surprised even me. If all caps bro is talking about the Jews, you don't need to talk about the Jews. It's over with for the Jews. That's what I tell the pro-whites. The reason the Beja reactionary wanted to talk is starting to talk about white genocide is because the Jews and black-on-white crime are starting to be dominated. They're no longer edgy. White genocide is very edgy. Jews are not very edgy. Everyone's going to be an anti-Semite, in the words of Bob Whitaker. This is the way things are going. Everyone's talking about the Jews. If everyone's talking about the Jews, we don't need to talk about the Jews. At the same time, if everyone talks about the Jews, they're going to come up more and more conversations. If all caps bro is talking about Jews, because he's a Jew, lamenting at all these crazy social justice warriors or Jews like him, talking about white genocide within so many tweets later. If you have this stuff going on in London, Kevin McDonald's on a world freaking tour, not David Duke, Kevin McDonald, Mr. the Marx of anti-Semites, you don't have to worry about talking about the Jews, but you better understand that they're going to be coming up in more conversations out of the blue. Meaning typically when a bugger walks in and has a conversation about white genocide, you don't bring up anything you don't have to, whether it be black on white crime, whether it be Jews. And if there's immigration is always on, but immigration is so easy for us to move from point A to point B. I think the Jews are too, believe it or not. Yeah, there's this idea that the Jews, you know, you talk about the Jews and they magically make the mantra go poof. Nazi wants to kill 6 million Jews. Not anymore, because I just say, have you seen anti-racist Hitler when it comes up? They say yes or no, and then we talk about white genocide. I don't have to sit and talk about them. I got anti-racist Hitler. Most pro-whites have never had anti-racist Hitler. Bob has never had anti-racist Hitler to talk about. We do. So we got a tool for that. I don't have a tool for these guys in South Africa. It's kind of an interesting new dilemma. And plus, you've got such grisly pictures coming out every day. So there's nothing, you know, it's nothing to jump up and down over. There are some people that believe that, you know, that if we don't ever talk about the Jews, they're never going to come up. I would say that was true with seeding the meme anti-white. But guess what? The Truck Roys are probably hearing more about them all the time. If Truck Roy's talking about the Jews on Rinse Radio, and he never does that, it's because he has to for some particular reason. Do I think there's going to be social pressure as this stuff comes all over Fox News, as this stuff blows up to talk about it? I think it's just going to blow by. The only radical message is white genocide. Jews are blasé. All Caps Bro is probably going to tear his elite to pieces before you ever could. The ADL and the SPLC look to be in open warfare. Of course, that's a long coming. I've been asked about this. The ADL, the head of research, one of their heads of research, had issued a statement that the Southern Poverty Law Center, their hate map was overinflated because they're labeling individuals as groups, which is true. They labeled White Rabbit Radio as a hate group. Well, we're not exactly some big membership organization in Michigan, and they labeled Bob Whitaker as having two hate groups. Yeah, Bob has two hate groups. He's just an individual. Bugs is a hate group, and Whitaker Online is a hate group. So it's kind of funny. There's a tit for tat. That's always been the case behind the scenes. My understanding, and it's kind of common sense, is because they both compete for the same funding. The big funding is institutions, and the big funding is law enforcement lists. They both basically compete. Typically, when everything's going right, these disagreements don't come out in public. When everything's going bad, it does. The FBI, something happened between the FBI and the SPLC, and we're not entirely sure, but something happened. Something may have happened at the ADL that they're looking to moderate their position on a lot of things as well. That might be why we're seeing these, you know, Dr. David Duke's been on TV, and I've never seen Dr. David Duke get a nice, actually a respectful interview from Bill O'Reilly ever, and he did. I've seen him get some semi-respectful interviews from CNN, but not like the CNN interview after that. He's getting very respectful interviews all of a sudden. We got Dr. Kevin MacDonald on a world tour of all places, London. This is the home of Rothschilds. The Anti-Defamation League is a Masonic fraternal organization chartered out of London. So the idea that MacDonald's giving a speech there means all the pro-whites worried about the Jews is pretty much over with for them in some way, shape, manner, or form. But they're going through an identity crisis. All Caps Bro is going to tear them to pieces. His life is miserable. It has nothing to do with us. It actually has very little to do with kids on Stormfront. It has to do with Zionism and different failures and all these different identity crises they're going through. They're living within the confines of our social space. So if you create an environment where you have to make a choice between pro-white and anti-white, well, the Jews, who pretty much look like us, have to make choices as well, and that's what we see. And I think it's pretty much a healthy debate for them to have, probably a long time coming. God only knows where it's going. We'll have to see. And, of course, one of the young Jews that follows All Caps Bro actually converses with me because I follow All Caps Bro. And he believes that the Rothschilds has something ominous in store for them. I don't know. Of course, their history is rather ominous. Their relationship with their elites are as treacherous as our relationship with our own anti-white elites. It's true. So he probably has something to worry about with Kevin MacDonald on tour. It's nothing we need to get involved in or hung up over. But this stuff is coming up. It comes up. I am one of those social creatures that will talk about whatever I have to talk about to get the message out. For General Gage to be able to go on a Dennis Fetchel show to get invited on something like that in front of 40,000 people to talk about white genocide or his organization, he's going to have to talk about the Marines. He's going to have to talk about everything Dennis Fetchel wants to talk about. That's not our choice. This is something that the anti-social bugsers really don't understand. And so when I read that OHD had another emailing campaign, and he has a history of email campaigns that actually get blown out of proportion and get out of hand. He'll be the first to admit that. With Mr. Gage, who I've already spent time working with about not going off message about the Jews and stuff like that, General Gage doesn't go off message. Mr. Gage, Angela John Gage, does not go off message regarding Jews, really. I don't really see that. He goes off message on black-on-white crime, believe it or not. But this selective stuff that the antisocial set, the antisocial, and I don't mean that as derogatory, it's just a reality. They always henpick the Jews. They don't notice anything else for some particular reason. It's because Bob has sat there said this type of thing, and most of them misunderstood what he's saying. He's talking about not going off message. You know, and I could go on and on about this. I've went over this several times from several different directions. But there's no point, and if HD took what I said the wrong way, or if it was a little harsh, I apologize. I'm just trying to help him understand something fundamental going on. When the Jews come into the conversation, you have no control over someone blurting something out. You have no control over All Caps Bro making a statement like that. You know, the only thing you can say, have you seen anti-racist Hitler? Move the subject to white genocide. That's all you can do. We're well prepared for that. But you don't have any control over what people are saying. People talk about general observations that they're making. We don't have any control over Bugsers in South Africa, those using our particular memes in South Africa or trying to, having to talk about black crime. It's a pretty perverse situation there. We don't have control over that. The only thing we can do is help them move around it. We don't have control over the Jewish identity crisis that's happening right in front of the world. And most of the antisocial set are not sitting seeing these things. I mean, if HD would have followed John Gage's Twitter, he would have saw immediately that this guy's going off on black and white and stuff like that, but he's handpicking the Jews. I don't know why that happens, other than who knows. You know, sound and vibration is very funny. Once you unleash something, it comes out in odd ways across the board. It's like a pressure wave. More people that talk about the Jews, the more people that talk about the Jews, the less we have to talk about it. Or I should say the less pro-whites have to talk about it, the less pro-whites will want to talk about it because it's not cool anymore. The more people that talk about white genocide, the more people that talk about white genocide. That's what's happening. Sound is vibration, and once this stuff goes out there like magic, it starts permeating the social fabric. But it's not some type of trend. These trends toward anti-Semitism are historic. They're historic, they're aggressive. This one appears to be unusual because it has so many Jews so upset. There's nothing really you're going to do about that except recognize it. So, you know, typically when you're on message, you don't want to bring up anything that you don't have to. But when it comes to the Jimmy Maher, the Kyle Hunts, the Truck Roys, the Lord Nelsons, the Beefcase, typically in Europe you're dealing with Muslim crime, you're dealing with the traditional type of stuff. It's usually on the street level in the local neighborhoods. Black crime is going to come up a lot more in this open border stuff than the actual Jews. At the same time, stuff is seeping into conversations that normally wouldn't out of left field. And this is something everyone's noticing, not just me. The only thing I could do is make you aware of it. But some people go screaming from the room every time I make them aware of simple facts. These facts are not debatable. They're just happening. It is what it is. There's no way to control it. It's simply a fact of life. Does it mean we're walking around talking about the Jews all the time? No. Oh, does it mean I'll engage in a conversation and move it from point A to point B? Sure. Does it mean I'll retweet something? I'll retweet anything. The funnest thing to retweet is the anti-white stuff. I retweeted the other day a bunch of people saying I hate white people. Most of them were white people. Isn't that funny? But, you know, I retweet all kinds of news reports. I'm always asked, how do you build a big audience on Twitter? Retweet things of interest and put in your 2 cents edgewise. But you have to cover a broad spectrum, in my opinion. I have 2 other Twitter accounts that just cover white genocide in general. Most people don't know that, but that's true. It just really depends. You know, right now we're making our inroads toward a lot of stickers are out there and a lot of different signs and everything else. We're making inroads toward our White Rabbit Radio street team is out there. I can't travel a lot, but I have some rabbits that can. And so we're building out a whole new program. But you have to make alliances across the board. You have to be able to, if you're going to be a social animal, you want to have someone that can talk about anything. But they're going to have to talk about anything without having the antisocial set get all bent out of shape. Because all it's going to do is butt heads, and the antisocial set is always going to lose because they're not good at talking. So there's no point in it. There's no point in it. HD has his own opinions. Those opinions are based in the past. Those opinions are based in a bubble. Bob has opinions. Those opinions are basically based on things that happened prior to anti-racist Hitler. And Bob's opinion is right, in a sense that we don't want to be a group talking about just the Jews and anti-Semitism. We want to talk about white genocide. One of the more interesting things that has happened on this Kevin MacDonald tour is Kevin MacDonald is going over why whites are falling for this type of things, which is important because a lot of our problems are self-inflicted. You know, Bob's point is there's always going to be someone around to take advantage of you if you do stupid stuff. If you do stupid stuff and have a bunch of white anti-white traitors, well, then you can always expect someone to be around to play the role of the quote-unquote, the demigod Jew, the almighty Jew. That's always going to be around. You're going to have someone that comes around and does the exact same thing if you do stupid stuff. You don't need the Jews around to do yourself in. Someone will land here from another planet and do it, so on and so forth, etc. So you're going to have to learn from it. One of the interesting things about Kevin MacDonald's talk is we're trying to move to that particular phase, I think, where we're trying to learn from it. Instead of blaming other people for our problems, look at what we do to cause it and put pressure on it. Bob is also an old-school anti-pro-white, and most of the old-school, whether it be the Tom Metzgers or the Bob Whitakers, always blame traitors more than anyone else. The younger ones believe that if only the Jews will disappear, all our problems will go away. The neo-reactionary set believes more along the lines of Bob's, for those that don't know. They believe that we have a lot of problems ourselves that are self-inflicted. That I think is accurate. And until we learn from things, we're going to keep repeating the same mistakes. You don't need the Jews around. The Jews are going through their own identity crisis. If All Caps Bro is talking about them, if Kevin McDonald's on world tour, we don't need to obsess over them. There's no point in walking around obsessing over them night and day or walking on eggshells around the question. If everyone's talking about them, there's no point in worrying about them. They're not going to make the mantra go poof. If going off message on the Jews could make the mantra go poof, or could nuke the mantra, Bob Whitaker would have had a mushroom cloud above it with his own, putting his own foot in his mouth. Bob goes off message. Bob goes off message historically more on blacks, black and black crime type of issue, which is typical North Americano thing. And this is coming from someone that watches all this stuff. That is more of the tendency than the Jews. But typically going off message is no cardinal sin. You just want to learn from it. General Gage will go off on message. There's no point in doing a letter campaign and all this other type of stuff. My concern was that HD, you have Kevin McDonald as one of the board of trustees or on the board for the American Third Position. You've got Bob running for vice president of the American Third Position. You've got basically young Mr. Gage trying to come on message, and he generally doesn't go off message on the Jews. Someone is always going to mix our stuff with something else, but it's never once hurt us. Why? Because someone Googles white genocide and comes back to our stuff. I mean, we're not in a perfect world. And, you know, HD operates with like a lawyer-like precision. But when you're worried about someone going off message, someone like me is worried about the whole entire pitfall, not just one particular subject matter. And in this particular issue, it's never once hurt us. It's never once hurt us. What hurts us is not having more personalities around to push the message out into the social fabric at an aggressive rate. Yeah, you can run around and yell the mantra on Twitter with an account getting a few thousand, on any given month I might get 100,000 impressions in the last month. It's a lot. And sure, you can do a lot with just that. But you can do a lot more, a lot faster if you do that, and if you can get guys like General John Gage on in front of an audience of 40,000. We can do a lot more, a lot faster, and that's always been our key, our ability to do both. And so, again, I'm not saying the antisocial to offend the antisocial. What I'm meaning is they don't get out and talk to people all the time. They don't sit on radio shows for 3 hours, nor can they, nor want to. Bob doesn't want to do that. Bob is like a think tank, but think tanks operate in a bubble. They're totally dependent on what's going on outside. I know what's going on outside. We've seen it a long time. Bob predicted it after September 11, 2001, those of you that remember his exact dire prediction for the Jews. Now the Jews are going through an identity crisis. It doesn't mean we have to go through an identity crisis. It doesn't mean you have to run around, going crazy every time they're mentioned. You can bring it back to white genocide. You got an amazing tool out there to do that. I don't have a tool for the kids in South Africa, unfortunately. They're kind of in a unique situation on how to move from black crime back to white genocide, because this is black crime stuff there. I don't know exactly all the different conversations they're engaged in. I haven't heard enough. But I do see on Twitter where they can get off bender on black crime and not come back. And the pictures and the graphics and the fact that it's happening at such an aggressive rate is somewhat hard for them to overcome. But I'm sure there's a tactic. I'm sure there's a way to do it. It just takes a little bit of persistence. But hopefully I didn't offend anyone with what I said over at Bugs. It's not the point. Anyone can get on Skype and talk to me at any time. I'll tell them what's going on. And we're talking about things that are well documented, things that are out there. I mean, if young All Caps Bro is talking about his fellow Jews and social justice warrior set, there's no point in us talking about it obsessively. Just understand that they're going through an identity crisis over this. And he's probably going to get to the Rothschilds before you ever can, or the Rothschilds are going to get to him before you can. Whatever you want to talk about, whichever way you want to look at it. But at the same time, there's no point in worry about walking on eggshells and this and that. In general, the safest distance between the fastest way to get from point A to point B is the straightest line. And to do that, you need to stay on message. But there's always pitfalls. There are some of the antisocial bloggers that think all we need to do is stand on a street corner and yell white genocide. Well, no, we have to do all the above. It's much more effective to get in front of 40,000 people or 100,000 people or God knows how many downloads. some of our stuff on Red Ice has gotten. It's ridiculous. Some of the best performing program on Red Ice are done by yours truly. And I rarely brag about myself, but I'm impressed by how well those have done on YouTube. And that's fantastic. Our stuff is getting out there. And yeah, I can dance around and come back on message, but that takes a little bit of time. We have to have time to develop a truck, Roy. It takes a little bit of time. And we can't have people trying to run them off or scaring them off before the antisocial type, because they don't understand that this stuff is a lot easier on paper than it is talking live. And that's how that works, and that's my particular two cents. As always, you can catch me on Skype. You can ask me any questions. But there's a pitfall here. With Kevin McDonald on World Tour, something big's going on. With All Caps Bro talking about his fellow Jews being all this and all that, and even white genocide, although not in the same context. You have to understand that something historic's going on regarding our message, regarding the whole entire nutshell. But at the same time, it doesn't mean you're necessarily going to have to bring up these things in a conversation. It does mean that those social butterflies out there, those social bugsers, if you will, are hearing it more and more coming in odd places. The reports I'm getting from London is, you know, this guy just said this, the Jews are doing this and the Jews are doing that, just out of the blue. You know, they're not used to hearing it go this particular direction and that type of thing. And we've got simple tools for that. Have you seen anti-racist Hitler? Boom, white genocide. But at the same time, not preparing you for that is kind of irresponsible. Thinking you're going to sit in a bubble and not talk about what people are talking about at a dinner table, well, if you're not talking about what they're going to talk about, you're not going to be able to talk about what you want to talk about. You know, you kind of got to talk about, if you're going on a show, you're going to have to talk about whatever they want you to talk about and then move into whatever you want to talk about. You know, and they're going to ask you questions. If you go into the Red Ice interviews, these are great examples, they ask me all kinds of different questions about different things. And how I handled it, you know, determines whether or not it's a success or failure to bring it back on message or to make the relevant point. And that's kind of what we want the gauges to learn to do. And it's not rocket science. Truck Roy does it. Lord Nelson does it. Beefcake can do it. We have more of these personality types than any pro-white group in the history of the world, maybe. Usually pro-white groups only have a handful of these, if only one or two. They're the big cohibas. They're the leaders. They do speaking. We have several across the board. And we've lit so many fires across the spectrum. And I've always went out of my way to make it very easy for people to help us. Very easy. You know, I assume everyone wants to be pro-white. They just need something to say. Very few people want to be anti-white. Well, I don't think there's a lot of anti-whites in a particular area code. There's too many for me, but there's not that many. I don't think a lot of blacks want to be. I mean, there's a certain percentage of blacks in America that are brainwashed by the white anti-whites and the whole entire anti-white structure into this anti-white stuff. But you get into these conversations with blacks, the vast majority of them aren't anti-white. Oh. There's a shocking percentage that are because they're brainwashed, but again, most of the Mexicans, if you go down to Mexico, I don't consider them anti-white. The Chinese in China, I don't consider most of them anti-white. Our enemies pretty much are our own right at the top. They're the ones pulling the lever. Whether or not you want to get into the historical debates like Kevin McDonald has, and the debate is over on what's been done and what hasn't done in regarding immigration and who opened the floodgates. They've already proven that conclusively. One thing, and to us that's undebatable, is who's pulling the lever making the system go. Now, Abe Foxman's too busy fighting, arguing with the SPLC over some contract, over his contract to deliver his hate stats to so-and-so. And they're busy in their own thing. The structure they provide is long established. The Anti-Defamation League is 1913. They're an old organization. Their plans have been laid out a long time ago. SPLC is newer. ADL is Masonic, but I mean, it's all been documented, what's been done, what hasn't been done. The system is running on the white anti-whites pulling the lever. To be able to put the pressure on them, you're going to have to get out a message. To get out a message, you're going to have to talk about whatever you have to talk about in a conversation to get out a message. You don't just walk into a conversation. Human beings don't walk into a conversation. In South Africa, for instance, you're not going to walk into a conversation and necessarily just scream white genocide, although sometimes you can. You're going to walk into a conversation, talk about whatever they're going to talk about, and then inevitably, if you're white in South Africa, the conversation moves to black crime. And then, of course, the more talented ones are learning to move it to white genocide and what to say when called a racist and all the simple basics. But that takes a little bit of talent, and there's a lot of we're attracting a lot of attention from different guys that can do that. Probably the most exciting things we're looking at have to do with the famous trollish, famous hacktivist set, which I'm talking to nonstop. Now, they are unconventional pro-whites. They don't come out of Stormfront historically. They don't come out of anything like that. These are young guys who, you know, are computer whizzes, who have massive, massive platforms, none of which I feel like naming. They get out information in a variety of different ways to a variety of different sources, websites, e-zines, so on and so forth. And many of them are looking at our stuff because it has a certain force of nature. I mean, one of the interesting things is if everyone talks about black crime on Fox News, as Fox News takes up the Ameren position, that stuff is already done. That's not cool anymore. As more and more people start talking, as the all caps bros talk about the Jews, as Dr. Kevin McDonald goes on his world tour, and right now he's on a freaking world tour, it's not so much, okay, all right, been there, done that. Then everything moves on to the next radical message, and that's pretty much our stuff. That's what's going on out there, which is good. It's exciting stuff. Our job is to hold the line and keep bringing the message back home. You know, there's no point in operating and worrying about everything being perfect all the time. It isn't. It isn't. But by and large, we're moving forward at a very aggressive pace. And typically in this type of situation, you don't have to worry. Most of the stuff our race has lost, we've lost it through poor decision-making. Whatever our enemy is, in whole or in part, they will lose everything they have through poor decision-making. And right now, it looks like the whole entire anti-white set is in a meltdown because there's been a message. There's been a fuse lit all around them. And that fuse that's been lit all around them has started a fire, and that brush fire is burning far and wide. I went around, my first job was to run around and light it everywhere I could, and it's paying off, whether it be the Dennis Fetchos paying off conversations, whether it be in a unique way, in a way I wouldn't expect him to do an hour show on that, or whether it be the reactionary coming on message. And when someone like that comes on message, that means all the other guys are feeling under pressure to get on message, to accept the message. See how that works? But don't worry about someone going off message on this. If I got upset every time someone went off message, and I don't look at it as going off into news and Jews or black, I look at it as going off message because the vast majority of time in America is usually to deal with black crime or black crime stats. General Gage's problem was kind of like classic. You beat your head against the wall with anti-whites arguing over black on white crime stats. Well, that's kind of classic. Yeah, it is. But that is something that it's just a learning curve. And, you know, you can't ride the learning curve unless someone lets you. And you can't, someone won't let you if they keep sending you emails harassing you over what to talk about and what not to talk about. They don't operate like that. People that are social butterflies are under social pressure, which means they have very high expectations. So when Mr. Gage goes on a show, he's going to have very high expectations of himself, and I'm picking on him. Or when Jimmy Maher goes on a show. And so basically, you know, you don't have to worry about beating them up. They'll beat themselves up more times than you could ever could. You have to be constructive. That's what I've always tried to do, is be constructive. If you're telling them what and what not to talk about or who not to hang out with and that type of thing, that's destructive. That's not something they're going to like. It's not going to attract anyone. It's basically going to turn them away, which is kind of common sense. But the antisocial set don't seem to understand that. They try to fit, you know, they want to fit these square pegs in round holes. It doesn't work that way. To let them do their thing, and it takes time. Truck Roy took quite a bit of time. There's a handful of elements that wanted to throw him overboard. Yeah, probably even the coach. Bob has antisocial tendencies. He's an old fellow. Old fellows all have antisocial tendencies. And he's in a bubble, and he's totally dependent on us telling him what's going on. But again, there is no group that has magical powers that can poof, once you touch the mantra, totally make the mantra disappear. No, there's a way around anything, even in South Africa. There's ways around that. There's ways around everything anyone's going through with our particular message. But there's all of these unique circumstances. Nothing's ever the same. Everything's always changing. But the same basics always still apply. That means our message is not the same. What's going on in the world with our message is not the same as it was 6 months ago, and it's not the same as it was 5 years ago or 3 years ago. Things are different, but certain principles apply, and everything's always in a flux. What we want to do is keep moving forward, and there is no perfection. But this is H. Avenger. You've been listening to Horse Avengers Follow the White Rabbit, And this is a response to that long thread running over there where, you know, someone went into some, I don't even remember what it's about anymore, letter to General, to John Gage regarding not talking about Jews or not talking about this or not talking about that. You know, the letter of encouragement to stay on message is one thing. Telling him what and what not to talk about typically becomes unproductive in my view. I've already had these conversations with him. But that's my two cents. You can attract people or you can turn people away, and you really have to watch your tone. I was more concerned with sending him a letter telling him what and what not to say from a Bugs are notorious for sending lots of letters. At a time when Kevin McDonald's doing a world tour talking about the Jews, at a time when Bob's running as vice president on the Board of American Third Position. I've only encouraged John to get on message, to stay on message. His problem is black on white crime stats. His problem isn't the Jews. But there is no problem out there that can't be corrected. You just have to have enough time to ride the learning curve, and you have to give these guys enough time. Historically, the antisocial set on Bugs doesn't want to give anyone time. I'm not going to allow that to happen anymore. Anyone that wants time to learn gets time to learn. So, you know, it's pointless for those that don't understand what it takes to sit on a live show and have to play these games. And you know, they can be pretty nerve-wracking for those that have never done them, to sit and critique those that do. It doesn't really help us. The best way to help us is by being positive and encouraging them to stay on message. There are many pitfalls. Jews are one minor pitfall in our message. Many people think it's a major pitfall simply because Bob repeats it all the time. That's based on the past. Post-anti-racist Hitler, I don't think the Jews are a pitfall at all when it comes up. I don't bring it up. I rarely have to bring it up, but I have seen it come up of late. I have seen them come up of late regarding Israel, regarding Zionists. Oh, have you seen anti-racist Hitler? Then we get to talk about white genocide. Well, you have to have these tactics. You have to have these strategies. But this is Horace Avengers. This is Horace Avengers. Follow the White Rabbit. Keep the station tuned here, as always, to WhiteRabbitRadio.net. And we'll be back with you in the next Horace Avengers. Follow the White Rabbit. WhiteRabbitRadio.net.